Hello, hello. Back to another episode of the Dorky Mets podcast. I am your host, Charlie DeLuca. And with me, as always, is Del Alba and Corne Hogeveen. Bit of a tumultuous week for the Mets, coming off of their first series loss in division, losing 3 out of 4 to games, but still maintaining a healthy, albeit less comfortable, 3.5-game lead over Atlanta in the NL East. So I guess we'll start off real quick with the pleasantries. Corne, how are you feeling as a Mets fan right now, and overall, how is your week in that?
Yeah, obviously, I would like to at least split the series in Atlanta, but hey, we still have a 3.5-game lead. A lot of things went wrong for us, especially in the first two games, with a starter out after two. I mean, in every series, if you have a starter out after two because of injuries, that's a recipe for disaster for the rest of the series. And that happened a bit. The bullpen was overworked. The Mets won game three, which wasn't easy. And I mean, the bullpen was shaky with May and Olivino after Scherzer was good, and Diaz in between. Couldn't fault him. He was pretty dominant again. Yesterday was the toughest loss. I mean, we all expect, although the Mets don't have a history to win with Jacob on the mound, you still expect us to win that game. But we did face Max Fried, and Jake allowed a couple of runs, and their ace isn't too shabby as well. So I'm still feeling pretty confident after this week. And yeah, I'm not really, I don't feel anything different than I did in a week ago. I don't feel any different than a week ago.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's been over a week since we got together, the three of us. Since then, I believe it was the Monday the 8th, they got the Reds, won 2 out of 3, and of course, lose 3 out of 4 to Atlanta and in Georgia these last 4 days. But overall, playing maybe their best baseball coming into that season with Atlanta, you still have to feel confident about them going forward, don't you, Del?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really concerned. We won the one out of three, you know, 4 games, which, I mean, but this is the Braves, who were, you know, World Series champs. They have a good reputation of being a strong team. People, because of their slow start, people forget how good that team really is. They have talented players. It's tough when you got guys like Michael Harris and Grissom just doing their thing. But I mean, I'm not too concerned. I think the Mets just have competition now. I mean, it's not like we're not going to – I don't think they're going to lose a wild card spot. And we're going to continue moving forward. And I think that season isn't over for the Mets. So,
yeah, certainly not. And I feel like the first thing we have to touch up on is the injuries. Corne touched on them a little bit on the pitching side, but let's talk about the position players first. Corne going down with injury. Escobar tweaked his left side on Friday night. Didn't even have an at-bat before he was substituted out. Tried to play through it, then realized he couldn't. So he's on the IL. Out for about a month with a groin strain he suffered on, I believe, the Sunday game against Philadelphia. Obviously, Guillorme has been a huge piece for this team. You know, all around the infield. You know, obviously Lindor is kind of cemented every day at the shortstop, but Guillorme extremely well, third base extremely well, has hit a little bit more than he ever has in his career. So obviously a big loss, and we saw Beatty the big leagues, Dell. And he's only played 2 games so far, obviously made a huge impression in his first swing with the home run. But certainly, I think you're confident in his ability moving forward, at least until Escobar and Guillaume are back in the next, you know, 3-4 to man down that third base position and be in the lineup every day and contribute like he did on Wednesday night with.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm super exciting to see Beatty come up. I mean, you can hear just Keith is like in love with Beatty's bat already. He's like, you can hear him just talking. He's high against him, against how he does against lefty and the hard contact that he makes. I mean, it's. I think that he could be a legit bat at third base. He'll probably, you know, have a moment where he has to adjust, because remember, he's only got like I think 7 games in Triple A. Mm-hmm. But Beatty got that, so let's leave it at that.
Yeah, Corne, I want to get your opinion on this. The Mets did make a move for Sanchez off of waivers, actually won the Gold Glove at second base in 2019, probably the most random Gold Glove. Doesn't really hit a lot, but can play all three positions. We saw Evan Marrero get a start at third base. Bring in Sanchez, probably, you know, to replace him. Isn't going to play a whole lot. Maybe just as a move, mitigate the loss of Guillaume. Obviously, Luis is a huge part of this team with his ability. There are different shortstops available that they could have picked up. Elvis Andrews was on waivers. D.D. Pendleton Simmons, kind of a list of the shortstops of yesteryear, but more so than Escobar is the bigger loss of the two because of his versatility and his multiple infield positions.
Yeah, no doubt in my mind that Guillaume is truly missed. I mean, first of all, when you see that Guillaume was down and you see what type of player we brought up to replace him, that's a huge loss on his own. It wasn't a position that the Mets could really, you know, afford. A backup shortstop, guy who can play multiple positions. We brought up Devin Marrero, and no knock on Marrero, but he's just not good. And Guillaume does that job very well. Escobar was already, you know, losing some playing time to him. And I think Beatty, we have Beatty who will likely play third most of the days. I think that's an improvement over what Escobar has been doing. And even if Escobar comes back, I think you will only see him against the left-handed pitching. So Beatty will still get that playing time. I mean, I wish that Guillaume would have gone hurt maybe a couple of weeks before, so you could do something in the trading deadline. And now you're stuck with shortstops that are, you know, released from other teams. So the list you mentioned, I mean, none of those four guys, aren't really great, and they would all be those type of players that will sit on the bench and don't get it, and hopefully don't get into a lot of games for us with Lindor just playing short and Beatty doing well. So, yeah, it is what it is. Yolmer Sanchez, I mean, I'm not mad about it. We needed the guy. He probably is able to play some short, and he's terrific at second. So even McNeil, who has a little bit of, you know, with his hand, it's not 100%, although I don't really worry about him. We saw 2 days ago that on an at bat that he felt his hand, so maybe he should get a day, and then you can put Yolmer Sanchez, who's a pretty good defender out there. He don't hit much, but, you know, it gives you some I'm not mad about that. The Mets needed a better player than Marrero, and Sanchez at least plays good defense.
Yeah, certainly. And your opinion on this, Corne mentioned it a little bit, the fact that Sanchez doesn't play that much, and what that proposes to Buck Showalter because he used Yorme obviously at most of the time, but he would use him to spell McNeil for a day. You know, especially banged up lately with the hand. So now you have a situation where maybe Canna and Naquin alternating, Vogelbach and on the field every day, and obviously the catching position as well, is going to be the positional lineup at least until Guillaume gets back. You won't have that opportunity to, you know, sit McNeil, get Escobar off his feet against a right. Even, you know, Canna, too, you could play McNeil left and use Guillaume at second. So now, you know, the dog days of August, they're playing every day. They have two doubleheaders this week. Or two doubleheaders in recent and then the Phillies coming up this weekend. It's going to be tough sledding, I think at least, for these guys to go out there every day, you know, 8 times a week and continue to play high-quality baseball.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I mean, it's a weird situation now, but I am glad that we did get Yomar Sanchez just – because Lindor's played every single game at shortstop, I believe. I can't recall the last time somebody played shortstop other than Lindor. And you gotta rest the guys. I mean, I think for me, that's what's going on with Alonso right now is, you know, he's a bit off. Like, he needs a day off. I know he likes to play every day, but he's got to refresh himself. Yeah, he can, like, stop playing first and go to the DH, but he just needs a whole day off and get back. But as far as third goes, I think Beatty, I mean, from what I've seen, he's got enough to stick there. He's also going to be left field eligible. I mean, he's got experience in the minors doing left field. So if Canna needs a day off, who has been on a complete tear, by the way, let's not forget how good Canna's been the last, you know, 15 games even. He's got an on-base percentage of, 400 and – you know, his slug in the last 7 days is 737. Like, I mean, he's useful. But yeah, I am concerned about McNeil. You know, he's got stitches, I think two stitches in his thumb. And each time he hits the bat, I just look at him, see how he reacts. And there's been time where he looks at his hand. So I don't want those stitches to keep reopening and have this injury go out. I think Sanchez can probably cover second. So he's very versatile. I mean, if he could play short, he can probably play second and third. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting for Buck moving forward. We need Yorme to get back, but the oblique strain, I think, is like 8 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. So let's see what happens.
It definitely will be interesting to see what happens these next couple weeks because I feel like one of Buck's best qualities has been his ability to – everyone on the bench and to make sure that guys are well rested and ready to play today. And obviously Guillaume has been a big part of that. And you lose such a versatile player that allows you to move guys around the field and give guys a rest is going to be an issue. But obviously the injuries do not stop there. And I guess this can kind of play us into the recap of the Braves series. And I kind of think you can lump the first two games together in an unfortunate way for the Mets. In that you had Carrasco Monday, Walker two, both leave after two innings, bullpen getting taxed, guys who really shouldn't be pitching during a pennant race, being forced to throw multiple innings, RJ Alvarez, Steven Nogosic, Adonis Medina, those types of pitchers, were forced to pitch Monday and Tuesday night, and it resulted in two losses where the Mets were not really competitive. Monday 13. 5-0 were the scores. And we can kind of talk about the pitching side of things here. Cornet, obviously 40% of your staff is gone now. We don't know much about Walker. I feel like that he makes his next scheduled start. Carrasco out for a month or so. And I think optimistically you have to be a little bit calmer than I think the gut reaction would be because of how well Peterson and Williams, the guys who will step into the rotation, have pitched this year. You know, Peterson has done great when he's been called upon, obviously with DeGrom and Scherzer being out for extended periods of time. He was in the rotation for, you know, the better part of 2 months. Williams have the bullpen and the occasional spot start. So I think for right now, you have Williams your back end isn't the worst case scenario. Obviously, it's not ideal in a pennant race, but certainly those guys are capable of putting up 6 innings, 2-3 runs. Am I wrong on that assessment?
No, I agree. Williams had been, I mean, he's better in his relief role, but he's been on a roll lately. I think he has like 20 scoreless innings streak now, if I'm correct. So he has been amazing lately. So that's an hot hand that you get into. Main concern is obviously that we have that doubleheader on Saturday with Wer, Peterson instead of Carrasco and Williams, because Peterson could have to pitch already. So that Sunday game, if Walker isn't ready, we probably need somebody. And I think it will probably be Buto, because he's on the 40-man. So that's not ideal. But that's one game. And after, maybe if Walker misses another start, you can spot Williams. You can slot Williams in that spot for the next start Walker would miss. I don't expect Walker to miss a lot, though. So probably maybe one, maybe two starts. But and Peterson has been so good that I'm definitely not worried about Peterson replacing Carrasco. The main thing I'm worried about is what if you get another, you know, maybe even a COVID injury list stint for a pitcher, like what Bassett had. The depth behind Williams is really thin. I mean, if you already have to rely on Jose Buto, in my estimation, it will be Buto if Walker can go Sunday. Then that's a huge question mark going forward. And then the hope is that Walker returns soon and you don't have more injuries to your starting pitching staff. But for now, if it stands now, I'm not too concerned.
No, I don't think I'm glad we're in agreement there, Cornet. And you mentioned the name I wanted to get to next, and I wanted to go to Dell for this, as he is someone that's prospects. Jose Buto seems like the likeliest candidate to start on Sunday against the Phillies, should Taijuan Walker not be able to. He was pulled after one inning in his Syracuse outing the other day. Injury, or obviously in preparation to be called up to the major league level. So we'll see. Obviously, Dell, there really isn't a lot of other names that I could think of who would be a candidate should Walker be unavailable due to that bulging disc in his back.
Yeah, I've been following Jose Buto this you know, early this season, see how he's doing. To me, I think he's one of the guys that doesn't really stand out much, but based on his numbers, I mean, he's got 98 innings pitched, 111 strikeouts, 37 walks. His whip is 1.3. So, I mean, I think he's going to get called up on the doubleheader no matter what, either to start or to be a bullpen long relief guy. It seems like the initial report on Walker isn't too severe, but, you know, you never know what could happen. So I think he's definitely going to come in there. He'll be in a tough situation because he's only got 6 innings in AAA. So that's my only concern. It's a bit of a rush to get him up. But yeah, let's see what I don't see him starting, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, no, it should be an interesting another, however it works out. But I think we're all in agreement here that David Peterson and Trevor Williams are fine as your fourth and fifth starters because of DeGrom Scherzer, who pitched 2 games of the Braves series. Wednesday night, yep, with Scherzer, 6 2/3 in a victory for the Mets. A lot closer than it had to be. And I think this is something that we touched on last week, talking about the post-trade deadline sent this team. And I think that Thursday proved, last night's game later, Wednesday night proved that, at least for me, Odell, Diaz is the only guy who I fully trust to get an out. In the Lugo's been good at times. Out of good. Trevor is solid when he's healthy. But seem like guys who I trust to come into a situation, men on base, and get the big out or get three outs because they haven't really proven consistently. Every time, you know, one bad outing, two good. And it's that cycle. Avino has a tendency to get a lot of home runs where he leaves that slide like he did against Robbie Grossman on Wednesday night. You know, Trevor May has got down a little bit. So it was a little bit of a failure to not address the bullpen more than Michael Givens, who also got lit up in this series. And when they play a high-quality opponent like the Braves, it shows a little bit more than it would against some of the other teams that they've been facing since the All-Star break.
Yeah, I think, it is a weakness that I know Cornea was definitely felt like we needed to improve our bullpen a little bit better, especially by adding a lefty. Look, the Braves are a good team. Any weaknesses, they're going to expose it. Worst case scenario, at least we got, you know, Ruff who can come in the bullpen and give you two shutout innings at 45 miles an hour, you know, pitches. But, I don't know. I think the unpredictable of two starters getting injured immediately might have set the bullpen in panic mode, and maybe that's some of the issues that happened during the Braves series. It's possible that, you know, because they needed to step up, they had, you know, the panic mode kicked in. They didn't perform as good as they could have. I do think Givens did better than I anticipated, which was nice, but everybody else let me down. Lugo left me with a big hole in my heart when he, you know, gave up the run yesterday. But that's baseball for you.
I mean, Lugo's outing yesterday, there was a ground ball that sneaked through and a guy scoring from first. I don't know exactly how that happened. I mean, I watched it, but it just felt a little bit, you know, slow, the way the Mets played that ball. I think Ruff cut it off, and I don't think that was the smartest idea because I had the feeling that it went straight to McCann. So that to me was a bit unlucky. I mean, it could easily be an inning-ending out that Lugo got there. So I think Lugo has been really good lately, and Aurovino is always... He's not one guy that I truly trust, although he was really good this year. I always have that we get the bad Boston Aurovino outings at some point, and unfortunately it happened this week. But overall, yeah, I do think we lack one more real shutdown reliever that could have been from the left side, but even if it was from the right side, a really good shutdown reliever would be a must to add. And by the way, watching RJ Alvarez pitch was a pain in the ass to oh man.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Was brutal.
Not the best to have your 15th pitch against the Braves. You're creeping
now, down obviously, the Mets were put in that situation. Yeah. And that doesn't happen every series. I mean, it all went wrong for us this series, especially the first two games. And yeah, we got tattooed in those first two games. Like you mentioned, I think, Charlie, we weren't competitive in both of those games. So that set the tone and we could have split it, and I would be thrilled if we have split it. But I mean, overall, the bullpen is still for me. It's the bullpen in the postseason is the main concern. I'm not really concerned for the rest of the season, but I don't in the postseason. I don't think this bullpen is enough.
No, I definitely agree with you there, and I think we could talk about kind of how something that maybe indirectly affects the bullpen. Interesting, I think, on Buck's part, both Wednesday and Thursday night, pulling Scherzer and DeGrom in the middle of innings. Now, they were both around the – obviously, DeGrom coming back from injury. There's a little bit of an asterisk there. But Scherzer had 91 pitches. They were up big, so obviously you feel comfortable with a 5-run lead and your late inning guys for the game. But I think – with the injuries to the rotation and the bullpen being structured how it is, a lot of games coming up, obviously doubleheader on Saturday, no off days this week. It will be interesting to see, I think, and Dell, you could take an opinion if you want, how long Alishi gives those front-end guys to grab. It was interesting to pull them after 90 pitches to bring in a reliever. And on both occasions, it backfired. Ottavino getting up the home run and losing by Singleton Harris on Thursday night. I think you're comfortable with both decisions. Big lead for after Scherzer gets out and DeGrom coming back from injury. But certainly, in the future, I think you'd want Buck to stick with his horses and to basically ride or die with DeGrom and Scherzer.
I mean, he was good, but he wasn't great. I mean, we've seen him in his previous two starts. Maybe part of it is adjusting. I mean, I don't like the way he faced the same opponent like 5 times in a month. It's like, you know, pitchers need to adjust to the series. I'm not using an excuse for DeGrom. He did see Keith Gary made a statement. TV as well, like, seems like he's on there instead of 12. I definitely saw, like, he wasn't what he did the first time against the Braves. Part of it could be just adjusting to the team so they don't figure you out. I mean, again, the Braves are a good team, but I when you face the same opponent multiple times in less than a week, maybe that's what caused
starters to like
struggle a little bit versus a good team. Now the skipper needs to come in there and decide whether or not he wants to the guy one more out to face a guy like Harris, who's been red hot, you know, running and scoring position. I mean, it's a tough situation to be in for Buck, but I don't think it was wrong of him to take him out with having a hard outing.
Yeah, for Max, for me, the same. I mean, he had that stretch where he retired 13 in a row, but in that last inning, I think he walked a couple. He just was all over the place, like he was a bit in the first couple of innings. He didn't really have his control of his secondary pitches, and that happened again in the seventh. So maybe after, you know, the first two innings where he had to work really, really hard to probably find his and to get his rhythm with that lead the Mets have. I mean, you have to trust a guy like Ottavino to not blow up, which honestly it did a little bit, and that sucks. But luckily, the Mets held it on, and I don't think that was a bad decision by Buck because of how Max looked in that seventh inning.
Yeah, no, I think that's how I feel about it too. Sure, on his game, but it will definitely be interesting to see how he manages and kind of navigates and tiptoes that bullpen versus leaving the starter in for longer stretch. So that leads us into the series this weekend with the Phillies. And obviously Philadelphia is playing well right now, playing good baseball, really, since they fired And so it will definitely be a tough. How Schwarber will be back in the lineup for Philadelphia. He was at all three games besides one bat when they played him at Citi Field last weekend. So a little bit of a different look for Philly. And I think, and Dell, you can answer this. This is a big bounce back weekend for the Mets. Obviously, losing your first series to a division rival is going to be important to bounce back from. But also, the lead is now trickled down to 3.5 games. So, again, this weekend, and, you know, and Atlanta is playing Houston. That'll be a tough task. But certainly Atlanta's capable of beating Houston twice this weekend. So, all of a sudden, which was once, you know, 5.5 game lead, 7 games at one point earlier in the week, is now trickled down to 1 or 2. So, I think that this is a very important bounce back weekend for the New York Mets in a place that they've played well with a dozen years.
Definitely. I think the Phillies definitely smell blood in the water. They want to play spoilers. You know, they're division rivals. You know, we've kind of kicked their ass pretty badly earlier this year. So they want, you know, they do to do well. They also have Keith Hernandez talking crap about their defense, and they want to prove they have everything. In other words, they have everything to try to make the Mets do bad. And, you know, I don't know what the deal is with Noah Syndergaard, since we're talking about the Phillies. But I find it strange that this is the second time he's avoiding the Mets. Maybe there's something there that we don't know about him facing the Mets. But, I mean, look, we got Aaron Nola tonight. It's a good pitchers. I mean, I don't know if we get to face Ranger Suarez too, but he might have pitched last night. But, yeah, these Philly pitchings have been doing pretty good.
Yeah, no Suarez lined up. It's Nola tonight, Wheeler tomorrow, Bailey faced earlier in the year and hit around a little bit in one of the games, doubleheader that Wheeler was not pitching, and then Kyle Gibson on Sunday. So, like you said, decent pitcher, but certainly guys who the Mets have seen before and who have a decent amount of success against.
Yep. You know, and then I just want to go back to something you said, you know, regarding the Scherzer and DeGrom with Buck. Look, these are the arms you got to protect, and if they're struggling, I can see during this long Philly series, I can see Buck kind of babying those arms because you got to save some energy for October. I mean, one of those guys go out, the whole carriage can go down, you know?
Yeah, your horse. Yeah, no, definitely. And Corne, I want to get one last opinion of the show. Where do you see – how do you see this series going? I obviously, like I said before, they didn't play their best baseball in Atlanta. Yankees, who are struggling, they're still one of the better coming early next week. How important is it, do you think, for the Mets to, first of all, get through this series healthy, not have any, but also at least get a split of the 4 games?
Obviously, it's very important. I think if you, like you mentioned, if Atlanta is just playing great baseball right now. I think they won 8 in a row before our series, so that's they're playing great baseball. So you have to win yourself to stay ahead. And I know our September schedule is light, but we have to try to get through this little bit tougher schedule at the end of this month. And if we are able to keep a lead after this month, I think the Mets are in the driver's seat. So this Phillies series is one of those series that are important for us in this period of time. It's a 4-game series. Another 4-game series. It's difficult, a lot of games. It will be tough for us. If we get a split, I will be thrilled. I mean, that would be a win for us, in my opinion. We face Nola and Wheeler. We hit Wheeler around a little bit the last time out. So it's not like we will put zeros up against them in any likelihood. I think we will score some runs. Brady Falter, I think it's a lefty, right? So I remember him a bit, but I think that's a game you need to have. And it also depends on if Walker is ready, because then you have that Sunday game. If that's Trevor Williams, or maybe they slide Jose Buto in, or maybe they slide Jose Buto in the doubleheader. I think you have to try and get the Wheeler game set with our least pitcher. So if you pick the doubleheader, you go with Buto against Wheeler, and yeah, because you have to win that game against Brady Falter. The first game is probably for me the game that could make us 3-1 in this series. I think that's the biggest game is tonight, with Nola versus Bassett. I think those two are pretty equal. Bassett has been on a roll, but Nola has been pretty good too. So to me, that's if we win that, I feel very confident in this series. But if we lose that, it could be a 3-1 for the Phillies as well. So big game tonight.
Yeah, certainly. And really, at this point of the season, every game is a big game. Like you said, the schedule in September, hopefully the Mets can be playing good baseball when their opponent is a little bit weaker and they can continue playing good baseball like they have all season into October. That will do it for this of the Junkie Mets podcast. For Cornet Hogaveen, Del Alba, I am Charlie DeLuca. We will talk to you next week to discuss everything about the Mets. Thank you and goodbye.
Let's go, Mets.
Go, Mets.